Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 14. And we're going to do our best to expound, I believe it's, yes, verses 9 through 14. We're gonna stop at 14 tonight. Amen. So let's go to the board up here. And... Yes, not 17, but 14. So that's an error up there. But let's go with tonight's message. I've entitled it, Every Knee Shall Bow.
That's right.
Every knee shall bow. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, Jesus is about ready to return.
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. And what I love about the saints of God is that we have bowed our knee. Mm-hmm. But it's the unbelievers that will have to bow their knee now. Yes, by force. Hallelujah. And so pray for them. Because God's about ready to come on the scene. He's about ready to take us home. And we're going to be with him forevermore. And we will be changed. And we will be like him. How many can't wait for that moment? Come on, we can, you know what? Unclothe this tattered body now. Come on. Well, some of you are still young and good looking, but let me tell you. Give it a couple more years. Hallelujah. And you'll be crying uncle too. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So let's turn to Romans 14. Here we go. Let's read these verses. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's all of it. That's the believer too. This is not the white throne judgment. This is the Bema seat of Christ. Look at verse 11. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, and this is where I got my topic, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. And verse 14, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So we're going to look at these verses and let, have the Lord have his way. Amen. Yeah. Oh God, give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at verse 9. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be, what, Lord of both? The dead and the living.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Did you know he was Lord when we were spiritually dead? He was still Lord. And then when we became born again, he's still Lord. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You see, my friends, Christ died to free you and I. To deliver us from what? What did he deliver us from? He delivered us from judgment. We were all headed to judgment. Because the Bible says that we were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. That our mother conceived us in sin in her womb. And we were headed to judgment. He alone is our judge. How many believe that Jesus is our judge? As, so for any believer to claim to have the authority to tell others that how they should act or think in certain matters of their opinion is to usurp, saints of God, the position that Christ alone upholds. He is the one that will judge us. We should never judge one another. Can I get amen? That's not what we're called to do. Let God be the judge. Hallelujah. And we have to guard our heart and guard our mind and guard this mouth of ours. Can I get an amen? Because it can say things that we're not supposed to say at times. And we're going to see in a few minutes, it's not what we put into our body that defiles us. It's what comes out of the heart. That's what defiles us. Look what Paul wrote to the Philippian church right up here. Look at this. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. So now he's writing to the Philippian church as we are reading in Romans. And so they parallel to one another, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. Amen? Amen. And then look at in Corinthians. We see this again. But Christ has indeed been raised from where? From the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now, we all know about the seven feasts of the Lord, right? And we all know that Christ is in each one of those feasts. The first one is Passover, by the way. Passover is coming up. It's around the corner. Amen. And then he was what? He was buried in the Feast of Unleavened Bread the following day. He was in the tomb. Unleavened is a type of no sin. And then on the third day, he rose again on the Feast of First Fruits. This is where he ties us in. You have to look at it in the Hebraic lens when you're reading things like this. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. When it says fallen asleep, that means you're dead physically. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all may be made alive. Aren't you so blessed? He made us come alive. So you and I will never die. Can I get amen? Amen. We'll die physically, but we won't die spiritually. The moment we take our last breath on earth is when we will see him face to face. Can I get an amen? We will never die. Thank you, God. We're going to live forever. God has promised that to us. Thank you, God. So we move on to verse 10 of Romans chapter 14, and it reads, but why do you judge your brother? Okay, so now Paul is explaining to the Romans, why are you judging? You remember that one scene? Why are you judging me? I've heard that said from some of the saints in here. Why are you judging me? Okay, I won't say who you are. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. See, what Paul is basically saying is, listen, if you have an issue with a brother in the Lord, listen, don't judge them right now. If anything, exhort them. If anything, bear with them. If anything, you know what? Pray for them. Can I get an amen? But don't judge them. Let me just say this, especially for an unbeliever, because you never know when God will say, you know what? Come here. Come to me. Didn't he do that to you? Come on, we was lost without a cause. Come on, like G would say, God, when God found us, we were in the what? In the guttermost to take us to the uttermost. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so believers are not to condemn one another. Why? Because all of us will be judged by Christ. He will judge us. We're going to stand before him and give an account to every idle word. Everything that we've said in our body as a believer, he's going to say, well, what? Look, and he's going to roll it back. You know how we have a screen right here? He's going to open up the screen in your mind. Mm-mm-mm. Each of us will stand personally before the judgment of the seat of God. For what? To give an account of our actions. All of us have done certain things that God is going to have to judge us in, even after salvation. Things that we said, things that we did in our mind, in our own heart. Remember what Jesus said? Even if you think on a adulterous thing in your mind, it says you've already committed that sin. If you unclothe somebody with your own mind, you may have not slept with that person, but you've already committed adultery in your mind. So this is how our heart can what? Our heart can deceive us. This is why we have to be careful when we speak about one another. Amen. Look at this. This is what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. Did you catch that? Judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Listen, you don't know what that person is going through. You don't know what's in their heart. But God does. And then it says, then each one's praise will come from God. Because God will be the one to deliver. God will be the one to save. God will be the one to sanctify. God will be the one to do what we can't do to one another. Well, some of us can talk a good game. But only God can save. And only He can judge. Can I get an amen? Look in the next book of 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we, say that with me. For we, say that one more time. For we, look at that, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You see, we're not going to be able to get away from this. This is why if you sin, confess it right away to him. Can I get an amen? Come on, don't let sin go rampant on you and say, oh, you know, God, I'm covered. I'm already covered. No, you need to confess it. Can I get an amen? He saved you, yeah, but confess it. Why? Because he's going to judge us for good or bad. And I want him to say good things about me. How many of you want good things that would come out of the mouth of Jesus? The one thing I want to hear is, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. How many want to hear that? Well, guess what? It starts now. It starts now. This is the time to let those things go. This is time to say, oh God, forgive me. I confess these things to you. And help me guard my mouth. Because it could get us in trouble. And so this is, saints, this is not where God judges the eternal destiny of all people, the judgment seat of God. No, it's just for the believers. But where believers, our lives will be judged by him one-on-one. And then he's going to issue out the rewards. You know, you heard me say this before. I say it, you know, in the way that I heard it. But the rapture took place. Everyone's waiting to be at the judgment seat of Christ, and there's a long line, a whole long line. And this one little old lady, intercessory prayer warrior, Jesus is blessing her with mansions and just all kinds of extravagant blessings that heaven could give. And then he says, enter into the joy of the Lord. And while he's blessing her, this young kid is standing next to the line, and he's talking to the ones behind him and saying, man, you think she got stuff? Wait till I get there. He gonna bless me with all kinds. I did all kinds of things for him. And so he was next in line. So he stands before God, and God says, well, here's your blessing. And it was a Schwinn 10 speed. And he goes, this is it, Lord? He goes, yes. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You've been a blessing. Here's your 10 speed. And he drove away with his head hung, right? And the people that he spoke with saw him. So the next day on the corner of Hallelujah Lane, he's driving by, right? And they stop him. They say, hey, I see you got a smile now. You got a smile back. He goes, why are you smiling now? He goes, yeah, man. Yeah, it hurt a little bit. He goes, but I'm okay now. so what happened? He goes, see that guy over there? And they look. I go, yeah, the guy right there with the skateboard. He goes, that's my pastor. What's the moral to the story? What's the moral to the story? Man, don't you be braggadocious on what you've done. Come on. Don't say, look at me now. Look what I've done. Oh, man, yeah, okay. Now you really want that Schwinn 10 speed. That's about all you'll get. Listen, let God do what he's going to do. Amen. You know what? We just need to learn how to live sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen? And live holy as you can, and with God's strength and with his power and with his anointing. And walk in the ways, in the will of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so look at this right up here. In 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. We read this, but I had to put this out here again so we can just sink this scripture in. Because he's going to reveal the hidden things. Let him reveal it. Praise God. You know, a lot of times we think we got it covered. Oh, we forgot about it. He didn't forget nothing. He'll bring it up right before you. Amen? Now, look what Matthew 12:36 says. It says, but I say to you, this is Jesus now. They wrote down what he said. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. What? Wow. Yep. You see, Paul is just reiterating what Jesus already said. Look at this. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So the next time you start talking to people, whoa, pray for them. Can I get amen? Pray that God will help them, even if they have issues. Well, guess what? You have issues too. I got issues. I probably got more issues than all of you in here. Can I get an amen? We all have issues. And look what 1 Peter wrote. Just to parallel Romans 14, verse 10. Look at this. In 1 Peter 4:5. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. You know what that says in a nutshell? We were dead in sins and transgressions that God raised up. Can I get an amen? Amen. He saved us while we were in our flesh. And now we're living according to the Spirit. Woo, hallelujah. Because he gave us life, spiritual life. He made us come alive unto him. We was dead. We didn't even think about him when we was walking in our BC years. But now we're alive unto him. We're walking according to the Spirit of God. Thank you, God. How many are so blessed that you know that now you're walking with him? He's talking to you. He's speaking to you. Man. Just think of all the things that he has done for you. For me, it's been 36 years, what he's done for me. So many things. There are going to be things that I probably forgot what he's did, and he's going to remind me. Remember, I did that for you. One of the things, how many of you have ever had an encounter with an angel that he sent? Evangelist Felipe Rella seen angels fly in crusades. Huh, you saw him fly in. I would say, but maybe a week. About a week I was saved. And God delivered me from crystal meth, but he was still healing my heart. And so I remember going to Western Lumber. It was like 5 in the morning. We had to do 10-hour days. So before 5 o'clock, I rolled into the Circle K that was on Broadway. Before you get into National City, there was a Circle K right there. So I rolled in to get me a big coffee. Because, you know, I wanted to get picked up. And I walked in there, man, and here I am. There was nobody in there but the counter person. I'm pouring a cup, and I see someone walk in. And went right past the counter person and came right to me. And he looked at me and said, "You're not supposed to drink that right now." He goes, "Put it down. You're not supposed to drink that no more for right now." I said, "Why?" And he didn't answer me why. He just said one more time, "Put it down. You're not supposed to drink that right now." And then he turned around and he walked out right past the counter guy. So I said, wait a minute. And I put the cup down. I went outside to look for him, to talk to him, right? Nowhere in sight. He didn't roll open a car. I even went around the building to see where he's not far. He's only seconds away. And he wasn't there. See, God knew that if I had any caffeine at that time, that it would really jack up my heart. Because I was looking again to you know, for that feeling again. And God said, not right now. You see, God will always look out for your best interest. Can I get an amen? Amen. And man, there are times where you're going to fall into a ditch and he'll come by and save your bacon. Jesus. Only Jesus can do those things. And he'll dispatch an angel to go rescue you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Woo, Jesus, thank you. Well, we serve a mighty God, don't we? We serve a loving God. We got time for one more? Can I share one more? Okay. Amen. I want to give God some glory here. God had blessed me to get a new van. And so that van, I was picking up saints left and right to come to North Park Apostolic Church. I couldn't wait to pick up folks, right? And so during that day, I went to All-American Car Wash. And one of G's friends, Louis Davis, was working there. And I go, "Lou." He goes, "Hey, Fee, how you doing?" I go, "Lou, man, how long you been working?" He goes, "Oh, man, for, you know, about a month." I go, "Hey, what are you doing tonight?" Because in my mind, I was just wanting to bring souls to God. I didn't care. I would just break the ice right away and say, "Hey, you want to come to church tonight?" So I asked him, "You want to come to church tonight?" He goes, "Oh, man, Wendy, I don't know. I have to ask Wendy." I go, "Man, you know what? I'll pick you all up." I go, you know, I wouldn't let him go until he said yes. Right. You know, and so he goes, "Here's my address. Come tonight. Pick me up." I said, "Okay, Lou, I'm going to be there." So here I am, man. I'm driving. And they had just changed the time, so it got dark early. It got dark around 5:30, right? It was about 6 because the evening service didn't start till 7. It was a Sunday night. So I drive down Plaza Boulevard. I cross Highland, and then I'm making a left on D Avenue. So I'm turning to the left, and his apartment was on the right-hand side. And so I was just looking, and oh, here it is. And there was a spot I pulled over. And as soon as I looked to my left, there was about 40 homeboys out there, cholos out there. And they were all mad dogging me already. And as soon as I opened up the car door, "Orale, fat boy, where you from?" I said, hey, man, I'm just here to pick up a friend. We're going to church. This is our barrio, you know, and they were just cursing me. Now, I'm not going to curse the words up here, but they were cursing at me. Man, I closed the door and I ran up the little steps and I was going, "Lou, Lou, open the door, Lou, Lou." And he opened the door. I go, "Lou, who are these guys, man? They're cursing me at me." He goes, "Oh, get in." And I went in. He goes, "Those are the insane boys from National City." I said, "Well, man, call the cops, man, because we got to go." He goes, "I ain't got no phone." I said, you don't have a phone? And the cell phones back then were about like a walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
He didn't have one of them either. I go, Lou, well, walk out there with me, your family. They'll see that we're going to church. He goes, oh, man, I'm not going to go. I said, why? He goes, man. He goes, Wendy don't feel good, and I don't want to go without them. I go, man, but here I am. I got to get back to church. I need to get back. All right, Lou. Man, you want to step out with me, man, so I could get in the van? And then when I looked out the window, there were like four of them already leaning on my van. And so I stepped down. I go, Lou, I couldn't tell him to pray for me. He didn't know how to pray. I said, I'm going down, man. I got to go. So as soon as I stepped down, I started walking on the sidewalk. They all converged on me. They circled me. Not just only the four. There was about maybe three others, and all the other guys were across the street. And there's one dude, bandana, Pendleton right here, opened up, and there was a piece already in his belt. He goes, oh, Lance, and where you from, man? I go, hey, I just came here to pick up. Just to pick up my friend to go to church, but he don't want to go. I go, I got to get back. He goes, this is our body, Winston. He goes, no, man, we're not just going to let you go. And in my mind, I was praying. I was pleading with God. God, help me in my mind. And I heard God speak clearly to me. It was either the Lord or an angel. It said, yell my name out as loud as you can. And so here he is right here, and they're all around me. And I said, Jesus, as loud as I could. And they all just turned sideways, and I walked right by them. It was like God opened up the Red Sea for me. I got in my van, and I was gone. And I went back. It was either praise. It was either a praise song or you shared a testimony that night, you know. And so I couldn't wait to share. I couldn't wait to share. And I was probably the last one to be called upon. Oh, Brother Fee, you got something to share? Yeah. And I shared the story. And man, I remember somebody who, I think it was Bishop, that was on the organ, and they were just playing the organ. Everyone started running around the church. Man, God did a miracle.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Just imagine they would. Those were the same gang that killed my nephew in Plaza Bonita Mall. The only murder that ever took place in Plaza Bonita Mall. Same guys, the insane boys. And they were about ready to shank me. But God said, not so. I still got a plan for this guy. Hallelujah. Oh, that's right. Let me just say this. God's plan for your life, He will allow it to be completed. The assignment He has given you, He will complete it for you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The gates of hell cannot prevail. I'm convinced of that now. I'm convinced. If it's not His time to take you home yet, no devil in hell can come against you. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
He will fight your battle. He will send angels. He will do the miraculous in the midst so that you could testify on how good He is.
Hallelujah.
It was all about His glory.
Yes.
And He didn't want to share it with nobody else. He wants all the glory. Listen, if you're going to keep some of that glory, He don't want none of it at all. You got to give Him all the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's move on. Let's move on to verse 11 in Romans chapter 14. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So let me just ask you this, because Paul the apostle, he was Saul, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was Saul, and he was from the line of Benjamin. He was the attorney of the day before he got saved. So he was filled with the wisdom and knowledge of the Old Testament. So he would always quote the Old Testament because the new one wasn't written yet. It was being written by the actions of the apostles and the disciples, but nothing was on print just yet. And so it says right here, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall what? Confess to God. So this is where he got it from. He quoted Isaiah, Isaiah 45, 23. I have sworn by myself, says God, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall take an oath. You see where he got it from? The Old Testament. Hallelujah. Because even though he was Saul of Tarsus, he still had the word of God in him. And you know what I love about God? When he saves you, he doesn't change your character. You're still the same person. He just changes your mind now. He gives you a new heart. He gives you ears to hear and eyes to see what the Holy Spirit is saying. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so Paul explained that a time of judgment will come. And it will come. But Isaiah referred to the day when every knee shall bow before God. And guess what? We've bowed before God. Aren't you so blessed to know that we have bowed before Him?
Yes.
We had to go through the cross. And the unbeliever will have to see hellfire if they don't repent between now and then. It was God's original intention, saints of God, to bring all people to Himself through Abraham. But the Jews, they had discarded God's message to the Gentiles. They had a hardened heart. And when Jesus was on the scene, they didn't believe that was Him. The prophets spoke of Him. They said He would be born in Bethlehem. They said that He would come as a servant. But they were looking for a ruler to overthrow Rome. That's why they couldn't see it. They wanted someone to conquer the Romans at that time. And they couldn't see it. They didn't see that Jesus didn't come for that. He came to save souls. He came to save us from our sin. You see, wars can be stopped and peace could come when a heart is changed by Him. And so the wars we see today and the wars we saw in the past is because their hearts have not been changed. Just imagine if they had changed hearts. They wouldn't be throwing bombs at each other. But that's the sinfulness of man. And that's why God has to do away with that system. He's going to do away with it soon. And so we must never participate in rejecting those who God has accepted. Amen? I remember Conrad Simon? I remember when he brought that word, he would say, people would come and maybe get saved at another church and start testifying how God saved him. He'd go, who was the presiding bishop? And what church did you get saved at? All of a sudden, you know, they're quick. No, man, God is omnipresent.
That's right.
He'll save whoever He wants to save. And He'll save them any place, any time. My brother-in-law, Brett Weber, got filled with the Holy Ghost on his motorcycle. He got baptized in Jesus' name, and he had to pull his motorcycle over and get on a street from the highway, and then he took off his helmet, and the tongues came, and he was on a sidewalk speaking in tongues for about an hour.
Amen.
God is not, let me just say this, God is not a respecter of person. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He's going to do what He's going to do. We just not have to let God be God. And we must be convinced, saints of God, that there will be held responsible to those who do come against the things of God. So we must always be on board what He's doing. Amen? Because look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church right up here. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 15. Then comes the end. And He delivers the kingdom of God to the Father. When He puts an end to all rule and authority and power. Right now, the Gentiles are ruling. But when Jesus comes, hallelujah, he's going to give this earthly kingdom to the Father. Can I get amen? And then we're going to rule and reign with Christ. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy will be destroyed, is death. Wow. Man. And that day is coming. So look at this, verse 27. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who puts all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. You see, there's a process taking place right now. And many, many people are getting saved. And then God knows when it's going to be time's up. And we get raptured out of here. Just imagine what this world is going to be like when we're gone. Yeah, the salt will be gone. The light will be gone. And when, listen, those who may, you may have family members right now that probably dislike you, but when you're gone, they're going to wish you was back. Because you were the one giving them hope. You were the one telling them that if you turn to Christ, he will save you. So when it's chaotic and we're gone, it's going to get crazy down here. There's going to be a lot of murder. There's going to be a lot of death. There's going to be a lot of looting. There's going to be a lot of wars busting out. And that's why one's going to raise up as the Antichrist to bring a false peace. And then he's going to slay many millions himself. Oh, yeah. It's going to happen sooner than we think. We are to confront one another in love, concern, and truth, but never in judgment. Amen? Amen. So let's go to verse 12 of Romans chapter 14. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Listen, you and I, as believers, saints, we'll have to give a personal account to God as we've been sharing this evening. Look what Hebrews 4:13 says. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. In other words, you could be by yourself in a room thinking that it's just you in the room. And now you're peeping on stuff. You're peekabooing on stuff on your phone, on your computer, talking some illicit things with people. And God sees it all. Oh, he sees it all. And let me just say this, so that you don't walk out with your head hung down low. When he calls you on it, repent to him. Just get right. You know what? He's going to call it on. He's going to pull the carpet. And that's when you have to confess all that. Say, God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. God, my flesh got weak again or something. I don't know. But you know what? You just come truth with him. He'll wash you. He'll cleanse you. But turn from it. Turn. Repent means turn. Look what Ecclesiastes 12:14 says. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Wow. Every secret thing. And even these. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Each of us will have enough to explain without adding, condemning, or mocking attitudes toward the believers to other ones that God is raising up. Can I get amen? Amen. So what if that saint is not doing in your eyes the things that that person needs to do? Let God be God to that person. Worry about your own self. Worry about your own self. Can I get amen? And I've learned this too. Before you go minister to a saint, you better make sure your heart's in the right spot. You got to cleanse your heart. Check yourself at the door. Check your heart. Man, am I coming here for the right? Or am I trying to look like I'm above someone? Oh, here comes brother so-so, brother or sister, much above. Here comes much above. Yeah, they above everybody. Much above. I just came to be right. Much above. Thank you, God. And so if anything, saints, we ought to be busy what? Helping one another. Helping our fellow believers that they would grow in the grace. Yes. Help them, God. Help them, God. Yes. When you start helping them, man, let me just say this. God will do something miraculous. I think one of the toughest things that just happened with me, I said, yeah, Jeremiah Realty, yeah. But you all know that I was married once before in my BC years. I went back to that realm to serve them. I went back to that realm to serve them, to help sell one of their properties. And I went over and I blessed them with and said thank you for all that they did. Gave them some blessings and said thank you. But you know what? That alone right there is what inspires the heart of God. When you're thankful. When you're thankful. I didn't have to. I did my job. But when you go that little extra mile, I'm sharing this because that's what we need to do with one another. Go that little extra mile. Can I get an amen? And watch God do something miraculous. Guess what he'll do? He'll allow you to obtain even more things that you need until he comes. And it's not about getting wealthy. It's about prospering in him. He says, I pray that your mind, body, and soul prospers. Can I get an amen? And when you prosper by doing something for somebody in their time of need, that's when he gets the glory out of you. And that's what he wants to see in your life. That you would prosper that way. Not because you're getting something. It's that you are actually serving those. Especially those at one time you found despicable. Then you go back there and you serve and say, praise the Lord. Amen. You see, friends, each of us will have enough time to explain without adding condemnation, mocking others. Look what 1 John wrote. Look at John, the beloved John on the island of Patmos. He wrote this in 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is what? Born of him. So when you're doing righteous things for one another, especially unto him, you're going to know that in your BC years, you would have never done that. But as a believer now, We can emulate him in our life. Is this is the way he treated others, we need to be like him. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen? This is a teachable moment that God wants to share with us and remind us that we need to be like Jesus. Yes. And when we show the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, he will use you beyond measure, amen, beyond comprehension. And he'll keep using you. And you, how many want to be used by him? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. So in the front lines of a battle, saints of God, all the soldiers on your side look good. They do. They all look good because they're on your side. But how about the other side that opposes you? We are to pray for them. Can I get an amen? Let's pray for the folks that don't like you, that dislike you. Or are we going to just get in their grill? What up? See, believers are not to judge one another regarding their convictions or matters of opinion. Right here, Paul directs his words to the strong believers. How many of you believe that God is raising you up to be a strong believer in Him? Or do we just pick and choose the things of God? I like that, but I don't like that. It's like a kid, man. You know what? I'll take the ice cream, but you can have the veggies. You remember when Mom would give us peas? You know? That's Brooklyn to eat veggies. Explain. Each believer, saints of God, though free to have his or her own convictions, and we have our convictions. Listen, what convicts you doesn't convict me and vice versa. And we're not to put our conviction upon you. Can I get an amen? There's some folks that don't eat beef. So why do you want to mock them? Because you like eating beef. Let them not like it. That's their prerogative. That's their choice. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
And they have a conviction on it. So let them be.
Amen.
Let them be.
Mm-hmm.
We must be careful that those convictions don't put an obstacle in another Christian's path. Because then we could be dogmatic. We could become legalistic.
Yeah.
There's some places you go to, you don't look like them. They think you're not saved. Huh? But that's their conviction. It's not mine. I've been delivered from that. Can I get an amen in the house, brother? Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. Look what James says, the book of James. Oh, no. We're going to go to verse 13 right here. Therefore, let us not what? Judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a what? Stumbling block. To fall in a brother's way. We got to be careful. We don't want to stumble nobody. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
The moment you stumble someone, you're going to give an account to God. And sometimes he'll speak to you sooner than later. Look at this. In Galatians 5. James. Here we go. Here's James. James 4:11. Do not speak evil of one another. Brethren. See, he's talking to the church. He's talking to the believer, right? He didn't say, do not speak evil one another, unbeliever.
Right.
He said, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Wow. Ooh, man. You know what? When you start reading the word like this, it will bring a holy conviction on you. And you know what? All this does, it doesn't condemn you. The word of God will never, Jesus will never condemn us. But we will have great conviction on learning what to say and what we should say and don't say. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's all about helping the other one grow. Helping the other one get to where they need to be with Christ. Watch them take off in their ministry. Watch them just fly like eagle's wings. That should be our end game goal, is to help them get there. Some of us don't have many years left should he tarry. I told my friend Marvin, he's 1 year older than I. I go, you know, Marv, we're 3/4 into our life already. We only got a quarter left. He didn't look at it like that. I go, we're in the 4th quarter now. We go, well, maybe if we stay healthy enough, maybe 15, 10, I don't know. Look at George Foreman. Gone at 76. And I love that brother. He was a pastor. He pastored. A stumbling block or obstacle refers to something that might cause someone to trip and fall right back in sin. Be careful. Be careful how you entreat that. Especially the newbies, the new saints. Man, be careful. Yeah, I've heard it said like this. You cut too deep, you're going to let them bleed out. Because we're always want to try to scale a fish. That's not for us to scale. Let God scale them. Amen. God will teach them. Look what Paul wrote to the Galatian church right up here. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. You catch that? For look at this. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Woo! By another. Wow. In other words, you consume somebody, watch you get consumed by probably somebody else that'll come out of the woodworks. You'll get a surprise, hello, hello. And you're going to look back, man, what was I mean to that person? God sent me another one. And God will send one. He sent a tormenting spirit to Saul in the house of David. A tormenting spirit. Matter of fact, part 7 is tonight at midnight. I just threw that in there. Oh, wow. You know I'm a night owl. Saints, the strong but insensitive Christian may flaunt his or her freedom and be a harmful example and thus offend others' consciousness. Man, don't be careful. Your conviction may not be theirs just yet. Pray for them that they get there where they need to get. Can I get amen? And listen, God will rescue you. You guys heard last week when God said I had to send 2 prophets to me? He was looking out for my best interest. He knew I was going to fall into sin. Because in my heart, I wanted to sin. I didn't think that moment would have ever came, but it came. But look at this. In 1 Corinthians 8:9. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. And there's going to be weak saints in the church. I get it. There's going to be some that are feeble-minded. There's going to be some that always keep coming to the altar. You prayed for them last week, they come again. You prayed for them this week, they come again. Let them keep coming. You never know when God's going to do something to break that in them. Amen? We can't judge them. Amen. Pray for them. They're coming. Listen, if they're here coming for prayer, that's because God brought them. Amen. Who are we to cast them away? My.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. And so, saints, we're coming in for a close. You see, Paul, he did not think the issue was worth dividing the church over. Regarding these kind of issues that we see even in today's church. You know that today's church is no different from their church back then. There's isms and schisms. Can I get an amen? You see, what I want you to get out of this whole Bible study tonight is not what you put into yourself is what comes out of your heart. Because we may have an idea that this is what I should say, and it comes out from the heart in a whole different way without any wisdom without even hearing from God sometimes. We just want to, by experience, I've been there. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Pray first. And sometimes we even need a fast. Can I get an amen?
Yes, we do.
We need to sometimes fast. So we're going to break down our last verse, verse 14 in Romans chapter 14. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. What? But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So now he's talking about the issue now, the whole time, the judging, the pointing of fingers, the mocking, the unruly serving each other harshly. It's because of what's in the heart. God wants us to flow with the Holy Spirit that's now in the inner man, not from the sinful heart, because the sinful heart can do damage. Because Jesus even said it. We're going to close in this. Look at this in Mark 7. Let's go to Mark 7, 14. And when he had called all the multitudes to himself, he said to them, hear me. So when Jesus said, hear me, he says, you know what? Stop everything and listen to what I'm going to say right now to you. He said, everyone and understand. So now he's got their attention. He said, there is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. One of the things when I open up in prayer, when I give a message, is Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. Look at verse 17. And when he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? So Jesus has to break it down to their level. Because they didn't understand spiritual things. They didn't understand the things from heaven that God already came down to reveal to us. So they're looking at it in a natural sense, and God's trying to teach them spiritual laws of heaven. Aren't you so blessed that the Holy Spirit is the one that searched our heart and revealed to us how corrupt we are? Because man will not write about himself. Man wants to boast about himself. But God comes to reveal what's in our heart. Can I get an amen? He had to break us down like Humpty Dumpty. Remember Humpty Dumpty? Had a great fall, Humpty Dumpty? All the king's horses, all the king's couldn't put them together again? Okay, well, God can put us together. He takes our Humpty Dumpty lives and he builds us up again. But guess what? He's got to break us. He's got to break that ugly thing that's in us so that we could cry out to him and say, oh, God, God, I need you. I need you. I need help in this area. God, help me. And he will hear your cry. Because he knows what we need. Look at this verse right here in verse 19. Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach. So anything from outside comes to the stomach and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man, for him from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. Look what comes out of our heart. Jesus is now, what he's doing, he is now putting the human heart on display. He's letting them know this is what's in your heart. Because it's not in Jesus' heart. The Bible says he came without any sin. So he doesn't have these sinful thoughts that we have that we inherited from Adam. So look at this. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. So look what comes out of it. Adulteries. Fornications. Murders. Look at this. Thefts. Covetousness. Wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Wow. Just imagine, they were probably just silent. None of them could defend that. And if they were angry at what he was saying, it's because of what's inside their heart. Because God already exposed it. This is an exposition, an expose of the human heart. And so if you ever want to share what God thinks of us, in our heart, take them to this passage, because they can't get away with it. Because an unbeliever don't believe they're in sin. So let me just share with you, this is what God thinks of me and you. Include yourself. Because just because we got the Holy Ghost, we're not what? We still deal with this. Until we're changed and we have the brand new body. We still deal with this ugliness here. We just been saved spiritually to live with him forever. But we still have to deal with this heart of ours. And so Paul's practice was to honor as far as possible the convictions of others. Believers are called to accept one another without judging or varied opinions. However, saints of God, when the situation has to be faced, how should we deal with those who disagree with us? Do you get in their grill? I remember what Pastor Leo, my former pastor, said. You could be in a debated conversation, and then it'll get heated sometimes. And then you just want to tell that person that you are right and not them. That your point is right. And you come to a place where you are so right, you become so wrong. Because guess what? Now you lost them. You just lost them. Because you want to be right. You didn't want to come and reason with one another and pray for one another. And say, it's okay. You know what? Maybe the situation just needs for us to pray about. And you could end it like that. But no, I'm right. Paul's response is that all believers should act in love as to maintain peace in the church. Can I get an amen? Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. And my prayer is, those of you that are watching on Facebook and YouTube, maybe you just logged in. Maybe you stumbled onto our website and you were typing amazing, or you were typing grace and we popped up. And now God has your attention. And maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you have some issues that you need to give to God. Maybe you're a believer that's struggling right now. No one's condemning you here, but there's a way that God can liberate you through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to give you the abundant life. Jesus says, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. Amen. Hallelujah. How many want the abundant life? Yes. Where you're walking in joy. Hallelujah. You're walking with anointing. You're walking by someone and praying for them. And watch them get healed. Watch them get raised up. Hallelujah. Watch them get delivered from sin. We need to be that conduit. We need to be, hallelujah, that vessel that God will open up the portals of heaven and pour through you to reach them. There's no room for big eyes and little U's in the kingdom of God. There's no room for that. And so if that's you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that there's hope for you too, and that you would give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So just pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Come on, is he worthy? Worthy, worthy, worthy. Woo, thank you, God.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.